Sure glad that you're with us this morning, and I'm sure glad to be back with you as well. Last Sunday, May 27th, for Dana and I was our 18-year wedding anniversary, so I decided to take the weekend off, and so we picked up our kids from a youth event over in Denver and stayed the night there and then went to a church Sunday morning. By the way, I don't know about you, but when I'm on vacation, I like to go to a church that's just a little bit bigger than we are and see what they're doing. And so we did that last Sunday morning, went to the zoo, and then came back home on Monday. So good to be back with you. I have some things I want to throw at you, some information I want to throw at you this morning. First of all, there is a table out just in the hallway, just on the other side of that wall, that has some names on it. Those are young people who are going to camp this summer, and Chris mentioned that to you last week, I'm sure. By the way, if you didn't hear his message, I encourage you to get on our website. He wrapped up our series on the parables of Jesus with the parable of the wise and foolish builder. Heard he did a great job, and heard he even had some show and tell going on up here last week. So I encourage you to take a listen to that. But there's a list of names out there. Those are young people going to camp. And then there's also a white wristband. And so if you would select a child or two, young person or two, and commit to praying for them while they're at camp over the next few weeks, today, third through fifth graders leave and head up to Camp Christian. Next week is middle school camp, and then the week after that is high school camp. So if you'd be praying for them, that God would be moving and working in their lives, that would be much appreciated. There's also a list that you can sign up to donate some food items that are still needed for camp. Now, just to be clear, if they don't get some of those items, they'll go out and buy them, but it's a way to help kind of lower their budget and their expenses there by donating some things. Today, we do start a brand new sermon series. And then along with this, we're also launching a new Monday night worship service. So again, if you've gotten our emails or heard me speak about it, we know that people during the summer especially like to head to the mountains for the weekend. So we've been brainstorming, talking about this for a few years, about doing a midweek or a Monday night service, and we decided let's do a Monday night worship service at 6 o'clock. So for the next few months at least, and maybe beyond, we are going to do a Monday night service at 6 p.m., We're having burgers at 5:30, so if you're here this morning and want to come serve tomorrow night, please let me know. Catch me after the service. If you're gone on a weekend, know that you can come on Monday night at 6 o'clock, and at 5:30 for a burger and at 6 o'clock for worship service. We'd love to have you for that. Also, if you'll look on your program, there are a few activities over the next few weeks kind of targeted at getting you outdoors and active and that sort of a thing. They're listed on the bottom right. One is a bike to lunch. Zach has organized this, as well as a Mount Garfield hike. So if that's something that you think you'd like to be a part of, we'd encourage you to sign up out in the hallway so that we can be expecting you on those days, as well as a women's night out on June 16th. Next Sunday, we're going to have donuts with Dad, and it'll be a good time. So please take a look at your program. Follow along with the notes on the back as we get into the message today. Things begin to change today. Things need to begin to change today. And I recognize with our 9 o'clock service and our 10:30 service, the people that will be here this morning, we have a wide variety of people, whether it's generationally, a lot of different variances that come into the room. And so this message, this series, might connect with you very differently based on where you're at in life. But things need to begin to change today. This series is called One Life to Live. This is a body series. Now, I know that some of you may have come in the room this morning with a bit of fear and trepidation because maybe that's been an issue for you. I want to encourage you, that's okay. Don't be afraid. There will be no body shaming here. I saw that on the gym wall at Planet Fitness, the one time I've been there, by the way. I think I shared that with you about a month ago. It says, no body shaming here. There will be no body shaming in this series. I want to be clear on that. All of us have a past, but things can begin to change today. Things can begin to roll back today. Others of you might be excited because as you got the emails or heard me speak about this, maybe you thought that this series would help you look better in your swimming suit. That's not what this is about. This is not a beach body series. This is a God body series. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 is our key text for the series. And I want to start off this morning and have you read along with me these verses. So can we do that together? Can we read aloud these verses together? Words from Paul. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I probably don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to. the world's view, what the world thinks about the body, and what a Christian ought to think about the body, there's a huge divide between those two points of perspective. The world's view about our bodies is oftentimes all about looks. In fact, you don't have to turn on your television and watch for very long to recognize that the world's emphasis is on how does a person look? Do they look good or do they not? If they look good, then they have value, and if they don't look good, then they have less value. That's the way the world looks at the body. A Christian's viewpoint is different, needs to be different, much different than that. However, a Christian doesn't necessarily put the emphasis on the physical appearance, but on the internal, right? I mean, on the soul. However, because we are Christians, and we are about the soul, and we Christians don't want to be like the world, sometimes we allow that pendulum to kind of swing the other direction when we retreat so far away from any focus, any importance, any emphasis on the condition or the conditioning of our physical body that we have forgotten some simple truths that can help us take care of the temple, if this is in fact the temple. So here are a few four simple truths about my body from the text that we just read. Four key ideas. First of all, God made it. Second, Jesus died for it. Third, the Holy Spirit lives in it. Fourth, I'd better take care of it. Right? When you don't take care of your natural body, there are going to be natural consequences. It seems like every other week there's a news story about how, as Americans, we are more unhealthy now than we've ever been. How we're not taking care of our bodies. How we're eating the wrong thing. Or we're not eating enough of the right thing. A recent study by the Mayo Clinic showed that less than 3% of Americans are living a healthy lifestyle. Now, I know to some extent I might be preaching to the choir this morning, okay? Because Colorado ranks 5th in healthy states around the country, just in case you were not aware of that. You probably were, but we still have room to improve. Studies also show that our children in the United States are more unhealthy now than they've ever been. You do know this is not the kids' fault, right? I mean, kids are taking after us. Kids take after parents. Kids take after grandparents. They get their habits from us. So what you do with your body, how you treat the temple, matters not only to your kids and their future, but it matters to God today. So I want to read these verses again from 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And I want, if you take notes in your Bible, I want you to kind of mark it up as we do so. So again, do you not know that your bodies are, circle the word, temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God, circle, you are not your own, you were bought at a price, therefore, and underline, honor God with your bodies. I mean, just that right there, I could probably quit and walk out the door and you'd have something to work on this week, okay? But we have more time, so I'm going to keep going. Let me give you a little bit of historical, cultural, helpful information here that kind of spells out why Paul talks about this so clearly in these few verses. Paul is writing this letter, 1 Corinthians, to the church in Corinth. The Corinthian society, was a hedonistic Greco-Roman society. One of the views in that culture at the time was this: the body is unrelated to who a person is. That was one of their views. The body is unrelated to who a person is. So, stick with me here because there's a grain of truth there, but they very clearly got it all messed up. They believed that the only important part of the human being was the soul. That's the only important part. That's what they believed, the internal part. That the body didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, and so since the body was unattached to a person's eternal destiny or to the destiny of the soul, they believed that they could live a detached life with their body, do whatever they wanted to with their body, and it wouldn't make any difference for the soul. So a person in that society might say something along these lines: I can sin however I want. Doesn't affect my soul. I can do whatever I want with my body, and it doesn't affect my soul. I can eat whatever I want. I can eat however much I want. I can have sex with whoever I want. I can do whatever I want with my living arrangements, with my lifestyle. I can lay around and never do anything to improve or even maintain my health because the important part of my being is my soul. So as long as my good-for-nothing body brings my good-for-everything soul to church every once in a while, then I'm okay. Because the soul is the important part of my body is no significance. The important part is the soul. That's what they believed. I kind of went overboard there just a little bit. But I want you to understand that is part of, a key part of what the Corinthian society believed. And it was, that influence was creeping into the church. Now there's a grain of truth there. The soul is the most important part. It is more important than the physical part of the body. Would you agree with that? Of course, the body is not as important. Some people might be thinking, well, wait a minute, is this kind of a trick? No, it's not. The soul is the most important. The body is not as important, but they exaggerated it to say that the body is of no importance at all. Therefore, you could live with your body, do with your body whatever you wanted, and it didn't affect your soul. So here we go. There is a potential for us as Christians. We are Christians, and since we believe that the soul is the most important part of the body, that again, we will retreat so far from the world's emphasis on the body, from the world's emphasis on looks, that we don't take care of ourselves. That we don't take care of our bodies. And in the end, it compromises our health and our effectiveness to do what God has called us to do what God wants to do in us. Am I making sense? I hope so. So, got more time, going to keep going. We can become all about the soul so much that we don't take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit in which our soul resides. If we're not careful, we will short-circuit what it is that God wants to do through us. And I know I'm kind of dancing around this, so I'm just going to say it. You cannot serve God on earth and serve other people in Jesus' name if you're dead. Now, I know other things happen. Accidents happen. Sickness happens. Things happen that have nothing to do with how we've taken care of our physical body. Stuff happens. I understand that. This is the world that we live in. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. However, if we're not taking care of ourselves, if there are things that happen in our life because we have not taken care of ourselves, we have short-circuited God's plan, that's on us if it's because we've not taken care of ourselves. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has good works He's prepared in advance for you to do. Things that He wants to do in you and through you, but if you are unfit for service because you've not taken care of yourself, or if you're dead, you might have just short-circuited God's will for your life. Now, I want you to know this series comes from a good place. I care about you. I want the best for you. That's where this is coming from. I care about you, and I want God's best for you. About 10 years ago, I was living in Missouri, and I was the director of a mission work, Niños de Mexico. You've heard me talk a lot about that. I was traveling a lot. I was staying in a hotel. I was visiting people. I was eating in people's homes. I was eating at church potlucks and out at restaurants and in a car and on a plane and doing a lot of that type of stuff. And one day, one of our board members, who is a friend of mine, much older than I, ran marathons and worked out and all that sort of thing, he calls me one day, and he leaves a voicemail on my phone. "Seth, this is Greg. Hey, I'm going to start working out this afternoon." He was a school teacher. "When I get home from school, I'm going to start working out in my basement. Going to be doing this 90-day thing. If you want to join me, you're welcome to join me." And I didn't call him back. Well, he calls me back in the early afternoon, one or two o'clock. "Hey, Seth, did you get my voicemail?" "I did, Greg." He said, "You didn't get back to me." I said, "No, I did not." He said, "Seth, I just wanted to invite you to begin kind of working out with me if you want." And so I did. And that was about 10 years ago. That led me down a path. And I didn't do 100% by the book and all that. But over the next several months, I got some things back in check. About 4 years ago, I was probably in the healthiest place I've ever been in my life, in my adult life. I was biking a couple times a week and going to the gym a couple times a week and watching what I was eating and watching what I was not eating and those sorts of things. I was making all the right choices. And then life got a little difficult again, got a little distracted again. But I'm real close to where I want to be. I got a few other things to work on. But enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm one of those guys that eats when I'm hungry. Anybody else? You get hungry and so you eat. And so if I see food, it's like, hey, I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. Or if I'm hangry, you know what hangry is, right? You're hungry enough to be angry, right? And so if there are some Cheez-Its there or some brown cinnamon Pop-Tarts or some chips, some Doritos or pumpkin bread, pizza, I just kind of eat it and then I'm not hungry anymore. And I've had to make some huge changes there. And with God's help and discipline and some difficult choices, I did. I lost about 20 pounds from where I was about 10 years ago. And it was not 20 pounds in all the right places. I feel so much better. With God's help, some change can happen. Here's what I did, though, and here's what God did. I improved my chances for living longer and being able to serve God longer and more effectively. That's what this is about, to improve your chances to live longer and allow God to use you longer and more effectively. I want you to be healthy so that God can do in you and through you what he wants to do. Here's the truth. If you live how God wants you to live and take care of the temple, God will add years to your life and life to your years. Does that make sense? But you have to do what he wants you to do. Today I'm going to give you some body goals. These are God body goals, biblical body goals. So let me give you the first one and then we'll talk about it. Number one this morning, to be the best me I can be for God's glory. That's the first body goal this morning, to be the best me that I can be for God's glory. Now, when we start talking about our physical bodies, it is very natural that there are things about our body that we probably don't like, and we want our body to be kind of like somebody else's body. We may look at somebody else and think or say, wow, I just wish I was kind of like that person, or man, I just wish I had that, or I just wish I looked like that. I got cheated. Really want. When I was a kid, I will confess to you this morning, when I was a kid, I wanted to be like Michael Jordan. Chicago Bulls. I had a Michael Jordan poster on my wall. Best player to ever play the game of basketball. Unless you're a LeBron James fan or a Steph Curry fan. I wanted to be Michael Jordan. And then I see Steph Curry play the game, and he's a phenomenal player. It's not right. Some things that he does with the basketball on the court, it's inhuman at times. Seems impossible. I was young, and now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread, and I've never seen someone play the game of basketball like Steph Curry. He's outstanding. I recently saw a video kind of celebrating his 30th birthday with 30 of his craziest made baskets. It was amazing. But when I was a kid, I wanted to play the game of basketball like Michael Jordan. Lately, I've wanted to play the game like Steph Curry. I am not Steph Curry. I grew up in Southeast Kansas. I am 6'2.5". There was a hoop dream in my heart. I am tall, but I'm just not quite tall enough to dominate. I played basketball a little bit up through high school. I played some intramural at Bible college. I enjoyed playing the game. I enjoy playing the game today. But again, I'm just not quite tall enough to dominate. And by the way, I've kind of learned over my life so far, the world is not made for 6'2.5" tall men. The world is made for 5'10" men. The way a car seat fits, where mirrors are in public bathrooms, the shower head height in a hotel. Everything is for the 5'10" guy, not for the 6'2.5" guy. So there kind of came a point where it's like, man, I really wish I wasn't this tall. Wish I was like 5'9". Matthew 6:27, Jesus says, he talks about you cannot add a minute to your life. Or in other versions it says, or an inch to your height by hoping for or worrying about it. You cannot change your height. So again, there was a time I wish I would have been taller, but then there was a time I wish I would have been shorter. And I wanted to be shorter so that I could fit into the world, what the world has to offer that height of men. I get a lot of clothes at Sam's Club. Do you know they don't make inseams of 34 inches at Sam's Club. Did you know that? Well, shop somewhere else. Well, that's what I can afford. I'm riding a bike for exercise. I have to buy an extra large frame so I don't look like a giraffe buzzing around on my bike. Playing golf, shorter men have a tighter, more compact swing. The taller you are, the more loosey-goosey it is. And so there are times I wish I was just a little bit shorter. Push-ups, sit-ups, and pull-ups are more difficult the taller you are. When I get on an airplane, I wish I was 5'9". Maybe even 3'2", right? Amen? But if I'd been 7 foot tall and the basketball thing wouldn't have worked out, I mean, I would be miserable right now. I mean, you wish these things. We're always wanting something different. We wish we were different. I want bigger muscles. I wish I was stronger. I wish I had fast twitch muscles. I wish I could run farther, faster. I wish I could lift more. I wish I didn't have gray hair in my beard. I wish my hairline wasn't starting to recede. I wish I had six-pack abs. I wish my ears didn't stick out so much. In heaven someday they won't. Have you seen Seth? That's him right over there. Didn't recognize him. Someday. But here's the truth that I have begun to embrace in my life. This is the body that God has given me. His will for my life that I need to embrace is that he wants me to be the best version of me that I can be for his glory. I'm supposed to take care of his temple for his glory, so that I can do what he's called me to do. A lot of that falls on me. Imagine God pulls up in your neighborhood in a brand new Corvette, and he says, hey, you're out in the front yard working. He says, hey, I'm going to be in the area working for a few years. Would you take care of my Corvette? How many of you would take care of God's brand new Corvette for a few years? Any of you? Yeah, you would. You realize your body is a million times more valuable than God's Corvette? God has given you something to work with. He doesn't want you to make it into a Hummer. Our goal is to be the best possible version. Yeah, a little delayed. Our goal is to be the best version of us that we can be for the glory of God. I'm not supposed to be Michael Jordan or Steph Curry. You are not supposed to be Barbie or anybody else. You're supposed to be the best you that you can be for the glory of God. But in order to do that, in order to get there, I've learned something, and you probably have too. I have to say no to me. I have to say no to me. Here's how I can say that. I am bad. I want to eat bad things. There is a partial 12-pack of Dr. Pepper sitting on the workbench in our garage right now. I haven't had Dr. Pepper in my house in months. And it's there. I'm like, why is it there? I just need to throw it out or something. But bad food, bad drink is cheap and readily accessible. You don't even have to get out of your car anymore. You know that. You can just pull up and someone will throw a bag of food at you, right? Through a window. That's what they do. We'll talk more about that next week. But I want to eat bad things. I don't want to run. I don't want to sweat. I don't mind sitting there on the sofa and watching other people run and sweat. That's called being a fan, right? But in order for me to be the best that I can be for the glory of God, I have to say no to what I want so that God can have what he wants. I have to say no to my desires so that God can have what he desires. What does God desire? God desires the best version of me. That's what he wants. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, this is Jesus here, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Circle the word disciple there if you're taking notes in your Bible. Circle deny. Maybe underline take up their cross. Take up their cross. How often? Daily. Every day. You know the word disciple and discipline come from the same root. So if you want to be a disciple, you have to have some discipline. And Jesus says, If you want to be my disciple, the very first thing that has to happen is you have to say no to yourself. You have to deny yourself. You have to say no to what you desire so God can have what he desires. And then he goes on to say, take up your cross. You know, we have romanticized the cross. We have. We have it in our church buildings. We hang it around our neck as a piece of jewelry. We have one in the field next door made out of some great, you know, timber from the mountains. The cross is something that is beautiful to us. But during Jesus' day, when Jesus said this, it was not a beautiful thing. It was a horrific instrument of death. Something used for execution. Something meant to torture someone. And when Jesus said this to the people, I cannot imagine their reaction. He says, take up your cross. Now, you may not know this, but in Jesus' day, when someone was going to be crucified, when someone was set to be executed, the moment that they picked up their cross, in that moment, they were considered dead. They weren't dead when they hung on the cross and when they finally gave up their life and they breathed their last and their heart stopped. They were considered dead the moment that they picked up the cross. And so Jesus says this to these people who would have seen this on a very regular basis. He says, take up your cross daily, meaning every single day we die to what we want. We die to our own desires so that once again God can have what he wants, what he desires. Paul said it this way, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You may or may not have gotten one of these. I didn't explain well to hand these out. But there's a copy of this, and you can't see this, I'll explain it. There's a copy of this out on the Welcome Center. I put this together for you. This is a list of several over the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. 8 different events in our valley or within about an hour's drive over the next couple months. These are 5K runs, walks, a walking event, just a soul walking event, a couple 10K events, even a couple sprint triathlons. Now, why would I put this together? I want to challenge you to look at this list and pick something. Again, there's everything from a walk to a sprint triathlon. And if you don't know what that is, it's like a 500-meter swim and a 12-mile bike ride and a 3-mile run. And you're thinking, oh my goodness. Yeah, I know. That's why it's the last one on there. But I wanted to put this together for you and challenge you to pick one of these and sign up for it. Get a couple friends who will be accountability partners for you and start moving. Get moving. Get something on your calendar that, hey, I'm going to do that. I'm going to complete that. I'm going to be there and do that and then begin training for that. Get something on your calendar, something that will get you moving, because a lot of times that's what it takes to get something out there. And then it's like, hey, if I'm going to be ready for that, I need to get ready for that. I know a few of you, by the way, Dana and I are going to participate in a couple of these. If you want to know which ones, you can catch me later. There's a couple of you in the room already signed up for a couple of these different activities. Sign up for something. Find something that you can see as a goal. I want to encourage you to get up off the sofa and get moving, and here's why. In our society, we sit now more than we ever have before. Used to be that we walked everywhere. Now we drive everywhere. I live right across the street, and I still drive to the church a lot. Usually it's when I have a meeting off-site, but we drive everywhere. Used to be that we walked to the store to shop, and now, did you know that in the past year or so, something has happened where you can now make your order online, your groceries, you can drive to the store, and they will bring it out to you and put it in your trunk. You don't even have to go into the store now, and some of you are saying, where? I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to figure that out on your own. It's Walmart, but we used to stand up to work on our feet, and now so many of us, myself included, sit for most of the day. On a side note, I do that sometimes. I bought a height-adjustable desk this week. Lisa has been using one of these for a while, and she loves it, and I thought, I need one. So I got one. I love my desk, so I'm going to take the top off my desk and put it on this frame. But I want to stand more while I'm working. We used to mow our own yard. Now somebody else is doing our yard while we're sitting on the sofa watching TV with our laptop in our lap and our smartphone in our hand. That's what we do so many times. Our son mows our yard. It's kind of nice. But used to be you had to get up off the sofa to change the TV channel. How many of you are old enough that you remember you had to get off the couch and go, yeah, right. Or maybe you had to go outside and turn the antenna towards that radio tower so that you could pick up those channels. How many of you remember that? And so we're like, let's have kids so they can do that. So some of you had children so they could press the button and turn the antenna. Things have changed. We don't walk as much. We don't get up as much. We sit a lot. And it's okay to sit sometimes, but according to the Bible, everything in moderation. By the way, that's next week's message, talking about moderation. Several articles that I read prepping for this series talk about how sitting is now the new smoking because of the negative health issues that are caused by sitting. And again, a lot of us sit, myself included. Those of us who sit at work are at a greater risk for cancer, heart disease, obesity, type 2 diabetes, muscular issues, and are more susceptible to depression. The list goes on and on and on. But when you walk, you beat those negatives. Just by walking, you increase your lifespan and general overall health. So I'm challenging you to join me to get active in moving. And it's not about just showing up on the day of your event and saying, I'm going to see if I can do this. I haven't been training or anything, but I'm going to see if I can survive and not die. That's not what it's about. It's about preparing for it. It's about getting active as a lifestyle. Get outside. Become active. And then we can celebrate this fall over Thanksgiving. One of the most simple changes you can make, a professional personal trainer shared this with me, might blow you away, but advice given from a personal trainer, simple change, after dinner, walk together with your family. After dinner, go for a walk. Most people, after dinner, what do? Most people sit down in front of the TV and just kind of crash for the rest of the evening. So after dinner, go for a walk. Gives you time to spend with your family, but it also burns calories in the process. Win-win for everybody. It's not about being a professional athlete or running a marathon or being pencil thin. This is about being the best me that I can be for God's glory. That's what it's about. Think about it this way. If God called you to go on a mission trip, or we as a church presented one, and you said, hey, I would love to do that, but as you're reading the description, talks about, hey, we're going to be working 12-hour days in the hot sun. At night, we're going to be walking up a hillside to the place that we're staying. A lot of physical labor. Would you be able to say, God, send me, I'm ready for this? Are we ready to do what God may call us to do? Now, some of us are physically unable to do what I'm talking about. I get that. Maybe you are unable physically or going through treatments right now. Whatever that may be, that's okay. But you're not off the hook. Move what you can move for God's glory. Even if you're sitting there, keep moving something and something will begin to move. Move what you can for God's glory. Number two this morning. Another God body goal, to make good choices, a lifestyle. Once again, this is not just about having a good body or doing a 5K or a triathlon. It's about making good choices, a lifestyle, which will lead to a healthier life and a longer life. For instance, would be starving yourself to get skinny is not healthy and not attractive if you starve yourself to get skinny. Just because you're the right weight or underweight does not mean you're healthy. We've all known people that will smoke to not eat, right? So in life we have choices. Every single day we have choices when it comes to our bodies. And some will lead to a longer life and some will lead to a shorter life. It's that simple. So this is about making healthy choices a lifestyle. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You'll be able to make better choices. You'll be able to make good choices. Number three this morning, to bear good fruit for God in old age. To bear good fruit, that's third body goal this morning, to bear good fruit for God in old age. If you want to bear good fruit for God in old age, you have to start taking care of the temple God gave you today. And I've read this next verse several times, but again, working towards this message, I read this in a different light. Might be one of my new favorite verses. For some of you, this is about to become one of your favorite verses as well. Psalm 92, verse 14. the righteous will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Amen. Righteous meaning two things. Of course, righteousness is bestowed on us by Almighty God through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. But righteousness is also the way that we live. We make right choices. You make the kind of choices God wants you to make. And again, He will add years to your life and life to your years. Make right choices. Once again, I know things happen. Accidents happen. Things happen. Sickness happens. It's not about the choice we make. Sometimes things happen. That's okay. Whatever is in the plan, use it for God's glory. But do not short circuit or become unfit for service because of your poor choices. Here's the takeaway this week. Highly practical. Sign up for an event and start moving. There's a Relay for Life on there. On CMU campus coming up in a couple months. It's a walk-in event. Maybe that's targeted at you. Maybe that will work for you. There's a few 5K and 10K events that you can walk or run or walk, run, walk. By the way, research shows that you will consistently have faster times as a beginner runner when you run, walk, run. That's you run for a bit, and then you walk for a bit and catch up, and then you run some more. Look at something, sign up for something, and start moving. This last text I want to read is from the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version kind of takes out words and gives some meaning behind the words. And so this one hit me upside the head recently. I'm going to read it out loud without stopping for a couple reasons. We're short on time, but also because I want you to see how it all fits together. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run their very best to win, but only one receives the prize? Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Now every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers, but we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service. He says, I strictly discipline my body, so that after I've preached the gospel to others, I'm not going to be disqualified as being unfit for service. I know that we are a church, and I know that your soul is the most important thing. You don't have to tell me that. I get that. But I guarantee you that the next most important thing that God is going to call you to do in this life is going to require use of your body. It's God's temple. He wants you to use it for His glory. So be ready. Take care of yourself. Now, it comes with side effects. We've seen those commercials where they talk about the side effects at the light speed, right? And read them real quick. If you live life the way God asks you to live life and make the choices He wants you to make and take care of your body, His temple, side effects might include living more years and having more life in those years. That could be a good thing, couldn't it? So let's do so for the glory of God. Would you stand with me this morning? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, talking about your soul this morning, that is the most important decision you can make. That you accept Him as Savior and Lord. Now I want to tell you now, the final week of this series, the last Sunday in June, we're going to be talking about baptism. Probably the most important thing you can do with your physical body for your soul. So if you've not yet made that decision, I'm praying that you might make that decision either between now and then or on that Sunday. That would be something you decide to do. For His glory, for the betterment of somebody else who might be observing that as well, that you'd make that decision. If you need prayer for anything this morning, please let us know. We'd love to visit with you about any decision God is calling you to or anything that you need prayer for. Let's bow. Father God, thank you for this day.